I'm going to call this meeting to order, the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors for July 29th, 2014. Please rise for a pledge of allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have no presentations this morning. We will go right to public comment for anyone who would like to address this board on an item that is not on today's agenda. I have one speaker card, Carmen Sabatino.
Good morning. Once again, I come to bring you news of something that, you probably can't do anything about, certainly something you cannot comment upon. But you must know by now that a claim has been filed against the county by Praveen Singh and Jayatishna Karen Singh. I just want to share with you the attachment. The backstory will present the entire file. We'll be emailing that out. But that since early 2013, Praveen Singh, a resident of the county of Stanislaus, city of Modesto, has been the subject of an erroneous and malicious investigation related to the homicide of Corey Kaufman. Mr. Singh has no criminal record and an extensive background in law enforcement, education, and professional investigative services. The investigation was led by the Office of the District Attorney, Birgit Flatiger, and headed by her investigator, Kurt Bunch. Since having started this investigation, investigators have been abusing their power, arresting Mr. Singh on three different occasions, none of which relate to the homicide. This is a new phone. I tried to turn it off. It was not successful. Okay, you have to lift the left. While the investigation into the murder of Mr. Kaufman appears to have been solved, and I'll disagree with that, investigators have kept the investigation, quote, open, alleging that Frank Carson, a local attorney who represented Mr. Singh on this and other matters, was involved in the death of Mr. Kaufman. It appears the motivation behind this investigation and related investigations is politically motivated, or simply another personal vendetta. The District Attorney's Office has been privy to Frank Carson's intent to run in an election for the Office of District Attorney, where Mr. Carson was literally seeking to take Ms. Flatiger's job. And as the election got closer, the investigators became more aggressive towards Mr. Singh and Mr. Carson, pressuring him more and more to, quote, turn over Carson, quote, give me something on Carson. To date, investigators have discovered no evidence to link the two to the murder and instead have intruded on the business and personal life of Mr. Singh, maintaining he is a person of interest, all while ruining his reputation, threatening his family, and deliberately and torturously interfering with his business and ability to provide for his family. In fact, even the close family circle, friends of Mr. Singh, have been, quote, investigated, harmed, and bullied by the District Attorney's Office. Mr. Bunch and his gang of investigators, including Jayatishna Karan, Mr. Singh's girlfriend, who is also the mother of his two children. The District Attorney's Office and its gang of investigators have engaged in an all-out bully campaign against Mr. Singh and the Indian community under the color of law, and they don't appear to have any intentions of stopping. That is the background. I don't think the newspaper will be able to help you on this one, quite frankly. I understand your position and the reality of you as a board, individually and collectively, of alienating some law enforcement officials in this county. They have very powerful unions, and they have very powerful influence. I want to remind you that I did appear before this board, and I specifically told you about two individuals, Steve Jacobson from the investigator's office and Kirk Bunch. I still maintain that some agency has to determine why these two individuals in particular are able to wear a badge and carry a gun, given the things that are going to be said and revealed, mainly through the back story. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Sabatino. That's the only speaker card that I have. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to address this board on a non-agenda item? Okay, seeing none, we will move to the consent calendar. Mr. Risen, you had a comment to make?
I would like to add just a clarification to B5, which is the declaration of the Honor Farm as surplus. The title, I think, correctly reads, but the recommendation, the words as surplus, got left off the recommendation, so we just want to clarify for the record that the intent is for the recommendation to be consistent with the subject in the discussion.
Okay, thank you. Any member of this board wish to pull an item from the consent calendar?
Mr. Chairman, I actually like to pull item B5.
Okay. We will pull that for a separate vote. Anyone else like to pull an item from consent? Any member of the audience wish to pull a consent agenda item? Okay, seeing none, we will entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar except for item B5.
Motion to approve.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's made and seconded to approve the consent calendar except for B5. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried. Okay, we will now move to item B5.
Mr. Chairman, I don't need a staff report on this. Just wanted to make a comment on this. Sometimes when we're looking at selling surplus property, and I know it's the same case as the animal shelter that we had out on Fence Road that we got rid of, we spent a lot of county money protecting it, the assets, when it really didn't have a net value. And that's really what we're in the case with this one as well. The net value is actually negative. And I just want to ask staff to move as fast as we can and watch the expenditures of us protecting this asset that has no net value. It just don't want to spend a lot of money on security and all the rest. We need to get through this, move it very quickly, and get it transferred over to another property owner and move on.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. Okay, so noted. Any other comments on this item? Okay, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, motion is made and seconded to approve item B5. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion is carried, 5-0. Okay, we have a 9:05 scheduled matter, a public hearing. We have the staff report.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a comment on this item before you get started on it. Although Denaire is not in my trade area of my business, there are Dollar Generals within my trade area, and I just feel it would not be appropriate for me to vote on this item. Whether or not it's deemed legal or not, it just seems inappropriate to be voting on what someone could consider a competitor of mine. So I will step down from this item.
Okay. Note that Mr. O'Brien has left the dais and has recused himself.
Good evening, or good morning, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board, Mr. Rising, Mr. Doran, Angela Freitas, County Planning Director. The project before you this morning was presented to the County Planning Commission on June 19th of 2014, and planning staff recommended approval of the project to the Planning Commission, and today we are here to present the Planning Commission's recommendation to the board to approve the project. With me this morning is Miguel Galvez, Planning Manager, and to present the project, Rachel Weiss, Project Planner.
Hello. Members of the board, Rachel Weiss, Stanislaus County Planning. This morning we have before you rezone application number PLN 2013-0103, Dollar General. This is a request to rezone a 1.75-acre parcel from expired PD 314 to a new PD to construct a 9,100-square-foot Dollar General retail store, a parking lot, and road frontage improvements. The new PD zoning will permit uses consistent with the H1 zoning district. The project is located south of Main Street on Fresno Avenue in the Denair area. It has a general plan of commercial and is expired PD 314, which was approved for Denair Lumber in 2007. And you have the residential here and some RA residential here. The site is currently vacant, unimproved, Quick Stop Market. To the north, Denair Market is over here in another commercial center. This is a proposed site plan with entry off of Fresno, stormwater retention in the front and the back, and landscaping. The project was taken to the Denair MAC on three separate occasions. In January, it was part of the early consultation discussion. The MAC requested that we bring the applicant back, and they came back in February, presented their project, and staff received a petition from the audience, which identified impacts on existing businesses and traffic safety concerns, as well as a letter from Myrna Chance, which identified some social concerns. We went back as part of the initial study referral on April 4th and received a referral response from the MAC the next day. Their MAC letter raised two issues, traffic congestion with the existing congestion at the Quick Stop gasoline station and that conflict with school children walking to and from school, and aesthetics. As a result, county staff required that a traffic assessment be done, and that assessment found that there were no significant impacts or improvements needed, and the applicant designed a new facade based on the comments from the Denair MAC. This is the new facade. We had some stucco and some brickwork instead of just all metal. Here's the proposed signage that will be on the building, and they have put some trellises to add a little architectural break. They are proposing a pole sign. The general plan consistency of the project site is currently designated commercial in the general plan and Denair community plan. The use as proposed is consistent with the general plan. As far as the zoning ordinance consistency to approve the requested rezone, the Board of Supervisors must find that the proposed PD zoning with H1 uses is consistent with the general plan for this project. The land use element of the general plan states the PD zone is consistent with the commercial general plan designation. The property was rezoned from H1 to PD to permit development of generic lumber because they needed outside storage, which was not permitted in the H1 zoning district. This had been H1 before. Had the property not been rezoned in 2007, Dollar General would have been able to come in with a building permit right now, or if the PD was still valid, they would have been able, possibly with a ministerial building permit. Pursuant to CEQA, the proposed project was circulated to all interested parties and responsible agencies for review and comment. No significant issues were raised based on the comments, and negative declaration has been prepared for this project. The project was heard before the Planning Commission on June 19th. Three spoke in opposition, including the chair for the Denair MAC. They identified again traffic increase and safety concerns, including a turning radius onto Fresno for the trucks, access and presence of school children, as well as the economic impacts on existing markets. The applicant and property owner's representative spoke in favor of the project, stating that Dollar General is not a grocery store. The turning radius could be made, which was Public Works also affirmed that it could be made. Access, the applicant had everything we requested they did. And they dealt with did a traffic report and redesigned the building. And then that locals would not have to go to Turlock to shop. The Dollar General would be there. Planning Commission also raised some concerns that they were being asked to keep competition out of the area, that the majority of households in Denair did not sign the petition, that the Denair residents would benefit from lower priced goods in the community, and that the requirements and the findings. Based on that, the Planning Commission on a 6-1 vote recommended approval of rezone application number PLN 2013-0103, Dollar General, to the Board of Supervisors as outlined in recommendations 1-7 of the book report, and staff is available for questions.
Okay, that concludes your report?
Yes, that does conclude my report. Thank you.
Okay, is there any questions to staff at this time?
Can I ask one?
Supervisor Chiesa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the traffic study, when they went back and did the traffic study, from what was initially done to what was done the second time around, what can you give me the difference?
They found that there would be increase in 81 trips, but that it wouldn't increase the impacts, that road had been designed to handle that amount of traffic. And they broke it down as to what was already there, what was passerby, and what that would, the traffic would be caused just by general being there.
But it was an increase in 81 trips a day?
Correct.
That's the difference. And was it an independent third party, or staff?
It was Katie Anderson.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions to staff? Okay, seeing none, this is a public hearing. I will open the public hearing. Any member of the audience wish to address the board on this item? I'll close the public hearing, so you can comment on it, and bring it back to the board for action. Comments from the board? Okay. Okay, Supervisor Monteith.
In reading the conclusion of the studies, as I read it here, it appears to be within the minimum standards of transportation. It also states that it does not interfere with the school traffic at peak hours and et cetera. From what I have before me, it appears that the study concludes that this is a reasonable request, and at this point, I see no difficulty in passing it.
Thanks, Supervisor Chiesa.
Thank you. This has been a topic of discussion at the dinner MAC for quite a few months, actually, and staff has spent probably an inordinate amount of time out there going over this issue. When it comes back to us, we deal with issues, parking issues, setback issues, lighting issues, drainage issues, safety issues, safety concerns. Can the roadway handle it? And the community, or the MAC, has taken a position of opposition over the last, they've been pretty consistent about it the last few months. And I told them that there has to be more than an economic issue here. We have to look at the safety concerns. And they went back and did the traffic study. I know they changed the decorative facade of it. And I think they've done their duty. It's probably not a popular decision on my behalf, but it seems that they've done everything that was asked of them in the community. And folks don't like change. For sure, I'm probably getting to the age where I don't like to see change anymore either. But I can't come up with a reason not to send this forward. So I will be recommending, and I will be making a motion when the time is right to okay this.
Okay, I'll just make a few comments about that. I see no reason to deny this application. Apparently the zoning, this PD zoning, ran out for the lumber yard. It was never developed, and it's only there to provide some outdoor storage. That's why that rezoning happens. It appears that this project is consistent with the general plan, and I think the traffic concerns and the aesthetic have already been dealt with, and it's to a reasonable fashion. There is some opposition to it, although nobody's contacted me about it. I did read through the staff report, and it is not a proper function of government to deny this project just because it's in competition with somebody else. Everybody has to compete in a free market, and this company has met the zoning requirements and traffic concerns, and I will be supporting this today. Anyone else? Supervisor Withrow?
I'll just kind of reiterate what anybody else has said here. I agree. I think that it does meet all the requirements, as hard as this is. Not an easy decision, I know. It's what competition is. We have to allow competition. We can't stop a project just because we are afraid that it's going to compete and hurt other businesses. hopefully, and what happens often I see is that it maybe brings out the best in other businesses and causes them to be more competitive and provide better services and maybe services that this store won't be able to offer, personal services. So anyway, I will support this also.
Any further comments or motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded to approve the staff recommendations 1 through 7. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried 4-0 with 1.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your report. Now the records show that the Supervisor O'Brien has returned to the dais. Okay, we will now move to agenda item B9, adoption of the East Stanislaus Integrated Regional Water Management Plan.
Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, board members, CEO of Ryzen, County Council Doring, Jamie Agers, Director of Environmental Resources. Joining me here at the table is Walt Ward, our Water Resources Manager. The item before you today is adoption of the East Stanislaus Integrated Regional Water Management Plan, and Walt will be making that presentation.
Good morning. There it is. Yeah, it's quite a mouthful. This is an approach that the state of California has been pushing, I think, since 2006. It's actually in statute, called Integrated Regional Water Management Planning. IRWIMP is the way that you pronounce it, acronym. And the idea is recognizing the wide diversity of water resources across the state of California, and not one size fits all, but at a local or more regional scale, that there should be collaborative and cooperative interrelationships among cities, irrigation districts, and counties, and looking at the wide spectrum of water resources. And so this plan was put together here in Stanislaus County, driven by four cities, Modesto, Turlock, Ceres, and Houston. And that plan has looked at a wide range of resources. I'm not going to go and read each slide because you can probably read those just as quickly as I could. But just so you get the concept, looking at water resources on a regional basis, looking at sources, looking at demands, looking at uses, looking at surface water, looking at groundwater, and the idea being ultimately to collaboratively work together and identify practical, applicable projects that could be implemented to achieve the goals and objectives of the IRWIMP. Next slide. Again, the point is that it leverages local resources. Ultimately, though, what it does is it achieves funding eligibility. And at this point in time, there's a Proposition 84, or a group of money. It's gone through a number of rounds. I believe it's in round 3 right now. There'll be future rounds. And so once you've adopted, once you've developed, identified and developed and adopted an IRWIMP, you are then eligible for funding for various projects that come down the pike. Next slide. Regional goals have been established. I think you all have copies. We've made a copy available to the public as well. There's a link on our website so that the public has access to go look at the plan. In particular, my interest is on the groundwater side of it, and there are elements of the plan that we can use moving forward with implementation of the GMAP, the Groundwater Management Action Plan, that this body accepted back on June 10th. So there's a number of elements in there that we think we can use this as a funding mechanism. Next slide, please. Again, focusing on the portfolio of activities, not just water supply, but also flood protection, and also environmental resources management and benefits there for, say, for example, riparian habitat restoration. So there's a whole list of projects that have been identified. Next, please. This is the planning area outlined in red. The north squiggly boundary is the Stanislaus River. Generally on the west side, it's the San Joaquin. And then on the south, it's the Merced River, and then it jumps up. Due to some other earwimp planning that's going on in Merced County. So there's a number of earwimps around us. There's one up in San Joaquin County. They're up and down the valley. This is ours. This would be the earwimp that Stanislaus County could use moving forward, amended over time, added to. It really puts us in the queue, in the line, with others to go after competitive grants. Next, please. In particular, I believe everybody knows about the discussions that have been going on for quite some time now with the Stanislaus Water Regional Authority and the surface water treatment plant that would be provided for the city south of the river. This is one of the key projects that has been identified in this earwimp, along with the North Valley Regional Recycled Water Project. And you can see here some wellhead treatment with some of the cities in dealing with water quality issues. So next, please. Riparian and floodplain restoration projects, stormwater. It's the full suite. It's the full spectrum of water resources management. And in particular, on the west side, there's some issues going on with some DWR, Department of Water Resources, regional flood management planning, and the county is in a co-lead position on developing that long-term plan. Next, please. The plan has been developed, adopted. It's gone through a rigorous review by the Department of Water Resources called the Regional Acceptance Program. What it affords now is that any public agencies that are within the footprint of the planning area can adopt this plan and make it their own and use it for their own planning going forward to identify projects and use this as a potential funding mechanism for future qualifying and eligible projects. Next. We're not required, the county is not required at this time to become a member of the regional planning group, which was formed to put the plan together, nor does it preclude us from adding projects to the plan by not being a regional planning member. However, we are looking at what would be the next steps. Should the county, and we will work this through the Water Advisory Committee, should we decide to make a recommendation to make it more formal, to become a full member of the regional planning group, it would require an execution of a memorandum of understanding, more than likely also entering into a cost-sharing agreement of some kind in the future to share those costs of future development. That will be coming back to you. This board did adopt this or accepted it as one of the elements of the Groundwater Management Action Plan back in June. And there are many elements of the GMAP that potentially fall under this umbrella that we, again, would use as a potential funding mechanism. Next, please. The adoption of a plan like this is exempt from CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. There's the citation identified there. Bottom line is a notice of exemption has been filed. It's been recorded back on July 15th. So there is no CEQA adoption that's required here. And in fact, you know, by filing of the NOE, it clears your way to take action. And that's what staff's recommendation is that the County Board of Supervisors adopt the East Stanislaus Integrated Regional Water Management Plan.
Do you have any questions for staff?
I'll go ahead here first. This is just part of a continued plan that we're working on here in the county, and it's kind of just the next step of what we're doing. We're getting into this business, obviously, and as a partner with the rest of the other agencies that we're working with here, and I look at this as just another part of us getting into the business. Right. So, and as we said, it's part of our, and through the Water Advisory Committee, it's part of our Groundwater Management Action Plan, so the adoption of this just makes sense. It's what we need to do to continue on to look for funding, and we all got a binder on this thing. which is the biggest one we've ever gotten, and a lot of reading there. But it is, a lot of work's already been done for us, and it just makes, like I said, it makes sense for us to be a part of this, to adopt this, and it will help us move forward as part of our Water Advisory Committee moves forward to work with the groundwater issues that we're talking about here. And so I will support this.
Thank you, Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah, I think it's just extremely important that we do adopt this and look at potential joining the group as well as any other groundwater group that there is. And I think we've been reluctant to in the past because we didn't have a water expert on staff, and we do now. And so I think it's we need to look at every opportunity that we possibly can. And looking at that map, there's a big area of the county up north that is not included in this boundary area, but it is in a different boundary area. And I want to make sure that we keep our focus on that for the areas Valley Home, Knightsbury, North Oakdale, to make sure that we get included in those planning aspects as well. But since we're talking about water, I thought I'd sneak in a couple other comments in general about groundwater. As I'm sure everybody is aware, this drought is becoming more severe, and I think we all probably anticipated it, but many of my residents in east part of town are going dry. Their wells are going dry, and I appreciate everything that we're doing on our groundwater task force, and the WAC is moving forward more of a long-term sustainable plan rather than right now, today and right now. And I think we need to maybe take a different look or another look at what we can do right now for our problems 2014. As we get into the end of summer, that's going to be the typical lowest well readings that we have, and it's a problem that could really get out of hand. Three areas I'd like to look into, and one has been talked about, funding. What do we do? How do we do? How do we take care of residents whose wells have gone dry? And I think that we can look and tap into a couple different sources of money that we have available to us and look at the potential of developing a program that can target people who can't afford to replace their well that has gone dry. Figure out how to do that in a loan aspect, not a grant, but a loan that can be repaid when that property changes hands in the future. Need to come up with some sort of specifics on the program to ensure that a replacement well is drilled to the correct depth. A lot of these wells that are going dry are very shallow. I've heard as little as a 37-foot well that we had that someone went dry. And so we need to make sure we have a really good plan on how to make loans to people who can't afford it. Now, USDA does have some funding available, but the program limits are so small on what your income can be that it really disqualifies most of the people in our county. Second issue is probably a bigger issue, and that's the timing of how long it takes to get a well re-drilled. I'm hearing horror stories from 2 months to 6 months out there. If your well went dry today and you contacted a well driller, you could be 6 months away from getting a new well. What do you do for 6 months without water? Now, California has some very stringent air quality rules when it comes to drilling machines. And I think it might be time to broach the idea with Sacramento that maybe we need a 12-month or an 18-month relaxation of air quality rules for well drilling rigs that are replacing domestic wells that have gone dry. Not looking for a carte blanche to bring in every sort of drill rig there is. Looking at the one specifically for domestic wells, specifically to get these dry wells re-drilled. And I think in the future this board should take a stance on that and maybe make a recommendation to Sacramento to take a look at this. Air District is the San Joaquin Valley Air District. I'm going to ask for them to look at that as well and make a recommendation to Sacramento to take a 12-month or an 18-month timeout, get some of these drilling rigs that are available outside of California, get them into California, get them in the Central Valley, and get these wells redug so our residents have water. It really needs to fall under health and safety. That's what it is. It is a health and safety issue of our residents. And last thing, the third part of that I'd like to ask is that we have OES take a look at contingency plans. What happens if an entire neighborhood goes dry? Not as concerned as what's happened in the cities. Cities seem to have a pretty stable wells, but I'm talking about rural residents. What happens when a rural neighborhood goes dry? And OES could take a look at it of possibly water tanker trucks, bring in potable water, maybe even portable shower, bring in for residents. If all of a sudden I had no water in my house, what does my family and I do? The problem is my residents are facing that right now. There's ones out there, I've talked to one every single week who call, what do I do? And I will tell you there are some great neighbors out there who are running hoses and pipes and taking care of their neighbors, which is awesome. But we're getting into the bad part of summer, and I think we probably need to take a look at some immediate actions that the Board of Supervisors can take.
Bill, if I could, those are all great comments and great suggestions, and let's express it from your lips to God's ears, from your lips to the WAC Advisory Committee's ears. We actually, one of the agenda items for tomorrow deals with the domestic wells and what to do with those and how to look for funding and stuff like that. So we're on that, you know, right now. We also had a discussion yesterday, we call it a pre-WAC meeting, where we talked about just what you're talking about with these, trying to figure out ways to get these additional rigs into our county, and we're dealing with issues with the Air Resources Board. So that's a great idea. And we talked about trying to, Wayne Zipcher was going to try to contact Eisenhut, is that Eisenhut's on the Air Resources Board, to deal with that. So we're working on that too. And then the last suggestion I think is great also, that with regard to OES, would be great to have some sort of plan in place to go in and, you know, in an emergency situation, you've got a subdivision, you know, that's in trouble. But all great ideas. We're working on them. We talked about most of two of those at least yesterday, and we will talk about them at the WAC Advisory Board. Yeah. So thanks, Bill. Good stuff.
And Supervisor Chiesa.
Yes, great comments. And I would, as far as the trying to relax the rules on a temporary basis, I think that's something we should, that letter should be being written right now. I think that's a fantastic idea. My question was for Walt. When we adopt the IRWIMP and Merced County, which we've had some conversations with them about, where they're in the Tuolumne River Basin, a part of their county. Have we approached them about adopting this, the county itself?
Not to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge.
No.
Is that something that the WAC might be doing too? Because I know the conversation that we'd had with a couple of supervisors is that, you know, what we do impacts you, what you do impacts us, and so we need to be on the same page between river to river. And I think that would be another suggestion for the WAC to make contact, or we can do it, I guess, as supervisors, to look at this, because it's all interconnected. Everything's interconnected. And then the question goes back to, you know, we have all the wide areas outside of the irrigation districts and the cities, but Daenerys has their own service district for water. Do they have to adopt this, or would they fall under the county's footprint on this?
For sure, they would be under the umbrella of the county. I'm not.
Okay. Something else.
Is there a CSD, and if so, yes. If they're defined as a public agency, they can adopt it as well.
They can. Okay.
I believe so.
That would be the next step, is to make sure all the community service districts within this region, Keys and. I think there's probably Keys. I think Hickman's covered under Modesto, part of Modesto's water system, so I think they're covered. But just something to think about. So, thank you.
Mr. Rison, given the need to respond timely in some of these requests, I was checking with council, we think you could probably amend the recommendations on this item to authorize the chairman of the board to send a letter on your behalf. With the recommendation as far as sort of relaxing the requirements.
Okay. I have went through this report this weekend, and Supervisor Withrow said it was one of the most extensive reports that I think I've ever been through. it must have been hundreds of pages. It's thorough, and it gives us a blueprint on what to do to manage groundwater, wastewater, storm drain water. And it's a plan, and if we adopt this, if we have a project, we would be subject to getting money from Prop 84, which funding for projects, sometimes can be pretty hard to get. And hopefully this drought will be over with this next year, but if it isn't, we've got to really look down the road in the future how to best use the water that we have available. Especially in this wastewater, which used to be a byproduct, and now it's become a valuable commodity that irrigation districts are fighting over. So I would have never thought would have ever seen that. But in my estimation, this is a very thorough report, and it's something that we should be adopting. Any other comments from the board? Anybody from the audience wish to comment on this item? Okay, please state your name for the record.
Vance Kennedy, 5052 Tully Road, Modesto. I wanted to comment about one of the potential problems that you have when water drops in a well. One of the things that happens is that there isn't enough cooling water for the pump, and the pump burns out. That happened to me. And for a relatively small amount of money, you can have equipment installed that prevents when the water gets a certain level, then the power is shut off so the pump doesn't burn out. And when the pump burns out, it isn't always possible to pull the pump. It can, if you've got a plastic casing, it can seal to the casing and you can't pull it out and you can't pound it down. And that's what happened to me. And so my understanding is that the pump company that I dealt with, that they had at least 7 people that this had happened to. And so if you're anticipating possible widespread dropping below the pumps, then something needs to be done to alert people that for, I think it's at most a few $100 to put in the automatic shutoff so you don't lose the pump. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Anybody else in the audience wish to comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for action.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Can I amend your motion to authorize the chairman of the board to send a letter to legislature, governor, and Air Resources Board for a temporary relief of well drilling rigs?
Perfect.
I'll second that motion then.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded with that amendment to it. Any further comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, we will now move to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Cook Brown attorneys at law regarding the county's designated third-party public contract documents distributor, public purchase, and their method of distribution to the Sacramento Regional Builders Exchange per Public Contract Code Section 20103.7.
Referred to the Chief Executive Office, Capital Projects.
This board has received a copy of the California Emerging Technology Fund 2013-2014 Annual Report.
Referred to the Chief Executive Office and Strategic Business Technology.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding the approval of Stanislaus County's Annual Action Plan for the Community Development Block Grant and the Emergency Shelter Grant for a total amount of $2,310,645.
Referred to the Planning Department and Community Services Development.
This board has received the Stanislaus County Grand Jury's 2013-2014 final report.
Acknowledge receipt of report.
This board has received a letter from the American Lung Association of California regarding the new grading methodology that will be used in the State of California Tobacco Control Report regarding cities and counties.
Report of the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services and the Health Services Agency.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? Supervisor Kiesen.
I just want to report that I will be missing the September 9th meeting, traveling with Stan Cog back to Washington, D.C. And so this is just a warning to keep it light. And if you're going to rob my house, I'm going to have a house sitter. So.
There might be a lot of changes, you know, in your district there when you're gone. Okay, anybody else? I have a report. Okay, seeing none, legislative and fiscal management report, Mr. Risen.
No report this morning.
Okay, we will now adjourn to closed session. Mr. Doring?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have closed session this morning to have conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiators are Stan Risen, Nancy Bronstein, and Jody Hayes, and the labor organizations under discussion are those listed on the agenda. We do not expect to report out.
Is there any public comment on this closed session item? Okay, this meeting stands adjourned.